Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Cardboard Cave Podcast. It's been a while since we've done one of these. At least I haven't done these in a while. So I'm happy to be back. I'm happy to talk some cardboard. I'm happy to talk about the end of days for WotC. But before I keep going, let me introduce the panel of amazing experts, starting with the most hated black player of them all, JP.
You gotta be careful how you say that.
Black color players? Swap players. Yes.
I'm glad you're back.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you very much. And also our trash player, Chris.
Hey guys, I mean, really? Trash player? Come on.
You trash. Trash. Gruel, disaster, gross, gruely stuff. Trash. Trash.
If only it was gruel, that would be the worst. That would be the least of everybody's problems.
I know, it's ridiculous. So, how you guys been?
I've been pretty good. Yeah.
Play some magic. I haven't played magic in 2 months, so I don't know what magic is anymore.
Well, it's been pretty good.
Yeah. Mm. I bought a bunch of. I can show you my. You bought a box and you bought stuff. The box wasn't good. I'm not gonna show the boxes. I'm worth it. I'm just gonna show shit I bought because that's better. Because money gets you the shit you want. So ooh, I got like.
Give me all the stuff that you don't like.
Yeah, sure. I will. I mean, I already bought this one, but I started with that one. I got the Spell Pierce.
Nice.
I got a foil.
Looks pretty nice.
Yeah, I got. Let's see. I got this. Obviously, a Swaddling Tide. I told you I needed that.
The only card I've gotten so far is the Bitter Blossom. I forgot to place the order and start. I look pretty.
And nice. Finally,
yes, City of Brass. I want to order a foil solid one.
Yes, so worth it.
Because it's the same price as that one.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, definitely. Super worth it. And finally, Cavern of Souls, because I needed that beautiful art. I'm still missing maybe the Forbidden Orchid, I guess. It's the only one that I might be missing too. And somewhere here is the Mana Drain. I just don't know where I put it. It's somewhere. Oh, it's here. Sorry. And the Mana Drain. Ooh. Yep.
Nice.
So yeah, I got all the borderless ones that I essentially wanted. Except, again, Forbidden Orchid, but I can buy that one later. And maybe the Vedakin Ori. But then I was thinking maybe I don't need it. I mean, I do need it because it's artifacts that give flash to everything, so it's pretty powerful. But they're beautiful. The beautiful pieces, they already went up back in price. So if you didn't,
at least the cards I want haven't shot up yet.
Okay, good. That's good.
Because I don't want any. I just want Damnation, which is like it's already been reprinted several times. I want one of the common unearth.
Oh yeah.
But like borderless foil. Oh, that would look so nice.
Yeah.
I don't want anything like too fancy other than the City of Brass, maybe.
Yeah. No, that's good. Obviously some of the mythics shot up again. So
yeah.
The green one, Allosaurus something.
Shepherd, yeah.
Shepherd was like 30 something. No, 20 something. And now the normal one, not even like the borderless, just talking the normal one, it shot up to like 30 something, almost 40. And I started freaking out. I bought one because I'm like, I need one. And I was going to wait till it went down, but it started trending upwards very quickly. And I got scared. So I'm like, I mean, just buy the normal one. I don't need the borderless one. It was already going at 45. I'm like, I don't need it. It's fine. So I feel that if people, as I always say, the best time to buy from the new set is always the first 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
It's already been a week and everything kind of like all the borderless pieces went up. The Mana Drain and the Force of Will surprisingly went up very quickly too. So they went up like maybe 20%, 10% of their price at start.
Yeah.
But I'll say this, for anything that's not really sought after or it's immediately sought after, it crashed so hard, ridiculously hard. So if you were like debating jank pieces, you're good. You can actually wait a while longer and you're probably going to get them. If you want to get some of the borderless commons and uncommons, they're pretty cheap too.
Yes, yes. Those are the ones I'm mostly after. Yeah. But like, again, I really wanted that Foil Edged Bitter Blossom.
Yeah.
That never shot down in price.
No.
The foil etched version was always at $80.
Mm-hmm. The problem is the etched foils are the ones that appear the least in a pack. So even the collector boosters, you will get a shot at borderless like two or three times, but the edge ones should be the one spin.
Yeah,
you get one roll at that.
Is it etched or like, or is textured foil like another thing?
No, texture's even rare. Let's not even talk about texture. Yeah. It's insanely rare. But like the etch foils, it's like one per booster. You know those collector boosters are expensive. At least the borderless, they show up in the normal draft boosters and the collectors. So you get double shot at them. And I got like a couple of borderless ones. Ironically, my last booster, I was already kind of like sad because I didn't pull like amazing borderless cards. I did pull at the very end an Eldrazi borderless. But guess the
not textured?
No, just the normal borderless. But guess which borderless one I pulled?
Emrakul?
Exactly.
Emrakul's also the cheapest one.
Yes, I know. It hurts double because I can't use it and it's also the cheapest one. So I'm like, I got very frustrated with that box. It wasn't a total loss because at the price I bought it, which was 250 something, 260 something, I broke even. But I was But considering the shipping, it was like 260, I think. 260, 275, something.
You got a crazy good deal. I couldn't get mine because there's suddenly shipping errors. It's like
of course there is shipping errors. Yeah, and it's like, oh no, we lost the box. Oh look, I found it again. It's now 350.
Exactly. It's no, I just can't.
Luis says the end is nigh. Yes, it is. It's very close to nigh. Very close to midnight. So that's what we're going to be talking about. So let's start with the first story. It's going to be a very quick one. Let me share the screen. Give me 1 second. Let's talk about that little secret lair spoiler that came out. So there was a reveal on Reddit about a Brain Bread collaboration, which, trust me, I don't know what the hell the Brain...
Brain Dead.
It is Brain Dead, I'm sorry.
Brain Bread?
Oh my God, it says Brain Bread in the title, but it's actually Brain Dead. So Brain Dead is a clothing brand that has collaborated with Magic in the past with limited edition clothing items. Their location is LA and has EDH nights every Wednesday. This appears to be some promo they're getting, possibly for an event during the San Diego Comic Con. So we'll know in a few days what this card entails. So the card that was revealed is Diabolical Tutor in precious, beautiful old border, which probably has their own style, which is the man
the head. Yeah, that's the art they do.
That's the art they do. So it's very specific to them. I don't know. What do you guys think? Diabolic Tutor's not amazing, but it looks cool, I guess. Yeah, it's like a freebie on Comic-Con.
The more cards printed, the better. In this case, like I don't know, maybe they like this one legendary and they could do a special art for it. The more special arts, the better.
I agree.
So.
Yeah. It's pretty. Yeah, it's not amazing card.
I definitely wish it was a Demonic Tutor, but you know.
But let me think about this. If it was a Demonic Tutor and they just sold it on Comic-Con or gave it for free on Comic-Con, that shit would be like $500. You'll never get it. So at least with this one, people be like,
but if they gave it for free in Comic-Con.
I don't know if they're going to give those for free, but they might. It's
a Diabolic Tutor.
Tutor, right? Like it shouldn't cost anything. It should just be a freebie that you go back by their booth. You buy like a shirt from them and they give you that shit for free. So I'm guessing, and it's probably going to go on eBay for like, what, $20? It's cool. So if anyone wants like a very not effective, tutor, but it looks very pretty, but there you go. You get a little demonic proof. Or this could imply that there could be other cards that come like in a little secret lair that's only sold exclusively on Comic-Con. That would be insane. So we'll see in a few days if that pans out for sure.
That would be the most expensive Diabolic Tutor like I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
If that was the case.
Oh, yeah. So let's go on to the other one. So the next topic, we're going very quick because it's just simple topics. So the other one was a very interesting one, which is the one where we start out. It's like a main topic of the day, one of the main topics. So JP, explain to us what's going on here.
There's been unconfirmed rumors of like the hidden treasures that are coming to a fall set in Standard. So Hidden Treasures, I'm not sure if that's the actual like name, but that's like what I've always called them, or like what people have called them, or what I've heard people call them, is basically reserved list cards planted into Standard boosters.
Yes.
They did this back in Zendikar, original Zendikar. Mm-hmm. You were playing the pre-release and you opened the pack and suddenly, what is this? It says Black Lotus.
Yeah.
And you're like, I guess you have a Black Lotus now. So what WotC did was buy reserve list cards from the secondary market and place them into boosters.
Yes.
What I am thinking, if this were to be true...
It seems to be true. It's apparently confirmed by this journalist. So it's apparently true. We just don't know which standard set's going to be. I don't know. We don't know if it's Dominaria or Brothers War.
It says fall set.
Yeah. So it has to be true.
Even though September is still tech, Dominaria United comes out in September 9th.
Okay.
So the pre-release is September 2nd.
Yeah.
That's still
Just Brothers War? It has to be Brothers War?
It's probably Brothers War.
But think about it. Dominaria United, the first Dominaria was keen on being like the nostalgia set. So it should make sense that it would be Dominaria for the sake of it being a return to the nostalgia. And we're going to up the ante with the nostalgia by giving a reserve list. Because I feel like they want to keep Brothers War very centric to the story. And they'll probably give you like 7 Urzas. And that's how they're going to like cope when they do that set.
I really do think it's going to be Brothers War because I think it's going to be the one that's going to be more directly tied to the past in itself. I don't know what exactly is going on, like Magic story wise, but Brothers War, like Dominaria United, just sounds like it could be like anything happening in Dominaria. Like they could, like the new Gatewatch could be arriving at Dominaria for like the first time. It would be a lot of, I think it would be a lot of like the new Gatewatch's like first time in Dominaria. So I think that's just going to be more of an introduction. Meanwhile, like Brothers War is going to be like the full like blowout, spend your money part of the set.
Either way, what I'm thinking of like distribution of the cards is original Expedition style distribution. So so they did this as Hidden Treasures was a thing for Zendikar. Mm-hmm. When we came back to Zendikar in Rise of the Eldrazi, that was Battle for Zendikar, not Rise of the Eldrazi. But when we came back to Zendikar for Battle for Zendikar, we had the expeditions. It was the first time we did WotC did expeditions. So expeditions were supposed to be one per case.
Yeah.
Like per case. That's what? One per 8 boosters? Like for 8
booster boxes.
Bought the Portuguese version, apparently.
And apparently. It was supposed to be one per box. Like per case. So if it's like that, then they won't be as rare, but it'll still be extremely rare. But maybe it won't be as rare as you might think. Other than like how many Black Lotuses did WotC really buy?
Yeah.
How many volcanic islands, tropical islands?
How many Black Lotuses can you buy? Making your money back on that set.
The listing, when we can check the listing right now, the listing just says that they bought like apparently a booster box of Urza's Saga.
See, that's the second thing I was going to say.
Yeah.
You understand how big the reserve list is? Like there's so many stupid cards that shouldn't be there.
I agree.
In terms of like, they're just there because they're old.
There you go.
The reserve list is pretty large.
Yeah, it's very substantial. It has a lot of jank, like a lot of trash.
A lot of jank.
Yeah.
But if this Urza Saga thing is like true, then Gaia's Cradle.
And it gives merit to what Chris is saying, that if they would like buy a bunch of Urza Sagas, that implies that it's probably going to be in Brothers War, not going to be in Dominaria United, because it is relevant to Brothers War, because I think Urza Saga is when Brothers War happened originally, right? If I'm not mistaken, War War?
I am not 100% on that.
I'm keen on Magic lore, but I have not 100%.
Not Boomer Magic.
I haven't related like the sets to the chunk of lore where like each one is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I always assumed that Ursa's, like, the Ursa block was the last time we saw Ursa. So I assume that if Brothers War is, like, essentially telling you the story of what happened, like, in a more cohesive way than back in the day, where it was just, like, read the cards or read a book, and then you'll know. Well, I thought it was, like, connected to what happened in the Ursa block. But we'll see what happens. Yeah.
I have the overwhelming fear that Brothers War and Dominaria United are going to be literal, like, time travel sets, like, you know, the Watch going back in time.
Yep, I think exactly that's what's
going to
happen. Yep.
I feel so iffy about it, man. Like,
it's okay.
Wise,
Avengers,
like,
Avengers Endgame did it. It's fine. Teferi does that shit, so.
Karn can temporal travel for free. Just you know.
Yeah, I agree with you, Chris. It's a cheap way to tell a narrative.
Yeah,
very,
like,
cheap. Yeah,
like, I kind of like what they did with the Dominaria set, because they delved into, like, the history of Dominaria while also, like, you know, kind of making it fresh and new in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And if they can do that, like, again, in a way in which, like, it feels like fresh and new while also having that, like, old magic feel, then when it comes to the lore and, like, the characters you get on your cards, I think that's it's pretty cool. Like, I think that's pretty cool. But just, like, going to, like, the cheap, like, oh, we're going back in time, mm-hmm. like, I don't know. And especially, I'm especially uncomfortable with the idea of bringing Urza back into the narrative.
Oh, I'm just pumped about that. I want Urza to have a card.
I don't want him to come back to the story.
My dream is
cheap, man. It's cheap.
What I want is just a beautiful borderless Force of Will again, and it's gonna be Urza and Jace high fiving as Dominaria is exploding behind them. I want that to be the card. And if not, I'm gonna make some artist put it in a proxy for me and just give it to me.
If Urza, like, we're going, like, Brothers War, yeah. All I'm excited for, the only card I'm extremely excited for,
yeah,
is for my girl,
Yawgmoth,
my baby,
okay.
Ashnod.
Actually, I just remembered, Yawgmoth isn't around,
because it's the Brothers War, and Ashnod is Mishra's second hand.
Yeah. So we're gonna get, like, a legendary, it's not gonna be a planeswalker or a legendary creature for sure.
If I can't run it as if she doesn't sacrifice, and I'm gonna be so sad, but taking into account the original Commander Legends, mm-hmm. they did a list of commanders that did not make the cut.
Yeah, we remember.
We covered that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Some of them were placed into the following sets,
mm-hmm.
and some of them haven't appeared yet.
Yeah.
One of those was an Ashnod card.
Yeah, that's true.
I think it's also going to be worth looking into a bit more of those arena exclusive cards to see if any of those cards that we talked about actually made the cut in, like, the digital only versions rather than, like, actual cards for the set.
I can confirm you for the most part that no, not because I know the exact answer, but because arena specific cards are using arena specific mechanics. And the cards that we covered through,
that is a good point,
are using normal mechanics.
Mm-hmm. Actually, quick fun fact about arena exclusive cards: they actually released the Commander's Baldur's Gate set in arena, but instead of using all these cards that have, like, these, like, commander mechanics, they changed them up to arena exclusive mechanics. For example, you have, like, the legendary that has background that makes you be able to tap all your tokens for mana has a completely different, like, effect in arena. Like, in arena, she has, like, hexproof from artifacts, and instead of choose a background, she has another ability.
There was cards that they use the same artwork, and then they just change the name slightly, and they have abilities where they change colors and shit now.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
We have six-sided cards now, basically, right?
I saw that. Yeah.
That was, like, the joke.
Well, the meme, because there's a page, there's an actual meme page of I sent it this to Fish because he hates that card. The white legendary.
Yeah.
That's a human protector. Mm-hmm. I forgot his name. From Innistrad.
Yeah, yeah.
Audric?
That's with an O. Audric. Audric.
How could you forget Audric's name?
Audric has the red white version.
Yeah.
And people hated that version so much that they memed it and they kept adding versions of him. And there's a page where you can randomly keep seeing different versions of him. It's just memed the hell out. It's hilarious.
It's hilarious, yeah. It's interesting. We'll see what this leads to. I think if there's reserve list cards in either Dominaria or Brothers War, we'll know if it's Dominaria tomorrow, because by the way, we're releasing this on Wednesday night. Tomorrow on Thursday they should do an announcement, because this is eternal hype, as everyone says. You know, we literally just had double masters. Screw double masters, we got to talk about the new set, which comes out in 2 months, but we're gonna talk about it now. So they're gonna be doing a stream tomorrow, probably spoiling some of the Dominaria stuff. And if we go by the assumption there's reserve list cards, they might announce them tomorrow if they're going to be on Dominaria. I still think it's going to be Dominaria, but we'll see. It's going to be
Like it's going to be British War. But...
Okay, that's fair.
How long do you guys think this model is going to be sustainable for?
The model has actually slowed down, if you haven't noticed. like fine, Baldur's Gate and Double Masters was way too close. But before Baldur's Gate, there was a whole month in between.
Didn't we have a bunch of secret layer stuff?
You probably had secret layers and stuff. Yes,
that's what I'm saying. Like,
and we do get spoilers every so often. So
like,
yes.
I'm pretty sure that was also when I got like.
It's been a bit slower.
It's only been a bit slower because the two sets they were supposed to have already announced had to be pushed back to October, which was the Universes United, whatever Warhammer thing, and also the Unfinity. So they were supposed to be released like back in February. I pre-ordered that stupid box months ago. So that was probably like March or April was going to come out. And now it's been pushed to October. So same thing with that other.
Maybe that's why it's
I mean, like,
that's
April
the only reason.
Like, yeah. Isn't April like the like premium date for like Silver Border release?
I agree. Which is no longer Civil Border because they want to sell the set. So now you're going to have 50 cards that are actually playable. Plus, the whole reason why I bought it. Plus the lands. Yeah, the shock lands.
So good.
Yeah. So I think it only slowed down out of necessity, not because they actually wanted to slow it down.
Exactly.
So the problem is Dominaria comes out, we're going to have a bunch of sets be like back to back to back to back, because we're going to have the aforementioned two sets that I said. And I'm pretty sure we're missing the Lord of the Rings set. Is that coming this year too? So
no.
I think we also okay. So the beginning of next year then for sure.
Yes. Okay. Yes. 100%.
Yeah. So that's the thing. It's gonna be, and there's probably commander sets in like commander, you know, sets of four commander decks are gonna be spliced through all these other sets too. We're gonna have the jumpstart stuff. So we're gonna have the jumpstart coming from Dominaria onwards too. So
yeah. Yeah, so it's like a little breather right now for like nonstop.
Exactly.
I think it's also because like in a lot of ways, when you're mid July creeping into August, business in general just slows down, and then like this year specifically with like inflation and all the other crap that's been going on in the world, like business has slowed down like everywhere, man.
Yeah, not even whales can buy magic anymore. It's kind of getting a little insane. You gotta think about gas.
Yeah, right.
I know.
Gas. Don't like half of them have Teslas anyway. It's like it's fine. Like,
probably. Yeah, yeah. They're all crypto bros buying Black Lotuses. That's the reality of magic. It's kind of crazy. Yeah. No, I don't know, man. It's too much. I think it's too much, and it's frustrating because you see other companies like Pokemon, like the Pokemon company, and they print everything into oblivion. Like they had the last set, the one celebrations, which I literally have like the little Pikachu thing in front of me. They had the celebration set, which sold out very quickly. People were literally scalping them. And their solution, we're gonna print more of that shit. We're gonna print our other sets, and we're gonna print that into oblivion. They printed so hard that basically nothing's worth in that set anymore because everything got.
That's what they should have done with.
Yes, and they do that to every stupid set. And Watsy did mention that they realized that they made a crucial mistake with Double Masters because they didn't think it was going to sell that ridiculously good. They actually admitted that. But I don't think there's a rumor that they might do a second printing because they kind of realize, damn, It's kind of insane. We should have thought of this already. We should have done a second printing. So there might be a chance that down the line, just like what happened with, I think, with Jumpstart, they might and do a second
print. Other master sets that were that were like not print to demand.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
I think Ultimate Masters was the most egregious one.
Mistake. That's usually because of a mistake.
Yes, that's
and
true.
They haven't made they didn't like even though they underestimated the amount they were gonna sell from this, it's still not a proper mistake. Because I remember Matter Masters 2015 had to have a. It was a once print set. It did not print to demand, and they printed us. They had a second printing of the set because there was an error with the printing quality.
Okay.
Because a lot of cards were faded.
Okay. Yeah, this one doesn't seem to have a mistake, unless maybe the edge foils do. But that's an issue.
Second podcast, damn it.
Yep. Oh, okay. It's me, this beautiful man, because he's anyways. Yeah, so we'll see. I hope they do a second printing. I really do. I hope we get more of these cards in the market, because you know, a lot of these cards are starting to rise up very quickly. Even the stupid merchant, the goblin merchant thing, he rose up very quickly again. So hopefully they'll get another second printing and, you know, crush these prices, because I wanted to buy an Imperial Seal, and I wanted to buy it when I was assuming it was going to drop a little bit more.
Nope.
And nope, it shot
100, like it reached like 120 ish, 119, and then it shot back up. It's around 198.
Imperial Seal. I lost my chance. I was going to buy it when I was going to be like, if it hits 90, I'll get it. It's cool. Nope. Didn't happen. It went up to 150. I'm like, it's fine. I'll never get it. I'll have my Vampiric Tutor. It's $40.
I got a Vampiric Tutor for like 33. So
exactly. Just get a Vampiric Tutor. Just get a Demonic Tutor, and you're good. You're literally, it's better. Honestly, this is literally an inferior Vampiric Tutor that should not have been $120 or 100. What, 50, 50, 60 right now? It's
it
insane.
It shouldn't be anywhere near like 60 no. or $80, like no, at
it's,
all.
Yeah, it should.
It's
not.
A $20 card, and even then, it's like.
No, it's not a $20 card. You're pushing
it's a good, but it has to be cheaper. It has to be cheaper than Vampiric.
No, dude, what do you mean $60? Demonic Tutor puts it in your hand, and Vampiric Tutor is at 30 and does it better.
Because of exclusivity. That's why I say $60. Well,
okay, yes, okay. Yes.
Fair
we,
enough.
We are talking about like,
it can't be $20. Demonic Tutor is $40.
I mean, the argument can be the same for $100 like Imperial Seal too, because of exclusivity.
I would argue that it shouldn't be more than 40 at best. At best, like, because I mean, I understand why it's so expensive.
I feel like Vampiric Tutor is a bit underpriced right now.
Oh, I agree. That's only because it was like printed to oblivion. That's why. That's why it's so cheap right now.
But so that's why, like, at 30 something, like,
it's
you know,
it's a steal.
It's really good.
It
was usually at $50. That was like a stable price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so Demonic at 40.
Yeah.
Vampiric at 50. So maybe. At like the me being a hair, just like crazy. Yeah. Maybe if this were a just world.
Yeah. A fair world.
Imperial Seal would be maybe at 30 then.
Because
it's worse than Vampiric.
But it's better than Demonic.
But it's technically better than Demonic because it's one mana.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. In a fair world where WotC prints at the rate of the Pokemon company, yes. Although if they printed at the level of the Pokemon company, everything would be like pennies.
Yeah, you know. I want to get into Yu-Gi-Oh. I've been waiting till August, and I kind of appreciate the way Konami has been doing their releases. Because they do like a really big release, they release a lot, and then just they don't release anything for months.
Yep.
And it's extremely different. But seeing how prices just plummet and then go back up slowly is like, okay, so they plummet, everyone can buy. And then if you want to buy later, then, you know, you can act or sell later, then you can actually kind of make a profit if you're like really, really, really smart about it. you have to be really smart. I don't think I'm at that level of, like, understanding the Yu-Gi-Oh market, but I'm understanding how that works, and it's I can appreciate a different method than the constant
barrage of
products.
Yeah, it's insane. I agree. Well, let's get to the next topic. So the other topic we wanted to talk about is it's pretty brief. Oh yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. Can you hear? So you can hear me. That's mainly the test I wanted to do.
Yes, no, we can hear you. It's fine.
Because I was like muting on the headset, and I guess StreamYard doesn't care if I mute on the headset. So no,
you gotta fix that. You gotta mute yourself normally. Don't worry. So the next one. Let's go. So WPN announced in their page that they're changing Magic product languages. Started with Dominaria United. So go ahead.
So
that's one way to put it.
They want to publish the game in 8 languages, and they're eliminating 3.
Yes, go ahead.
Russian, Korean, and Chinese traditional. Mm-hmm. A lot of cards were very, very popular in the Russian language. A lot of cards were popular in Korean, as per Orengo telling me. But my problem, or at least the way that I've heard another content creator talk about it, is the problem with Chinese traditional. So the differences between Chinese traditional and Chinese I'm not sure if it will be the modern version of Chinese or Mandarin specifically, or what specifics they evade me right now. But I remember this content creator talking about how he's seen and he has had both Chinese traditional and the non-traditional cards, and there are problems with how you say some things, and there could be a possibility of how there could be mistranslations, and mistranslations could lead to gameplay problems.
Yeah.
So it's not a 100% thing, but he gave an example of a few cards, and he showed the differences between them, and they could be it could be a problem. It just happens to not be a problem specifically because they don't know how exactly WotC is going to address this issue.
I mean, it does mention, like, right in that same page, right, that stores in Korea, Taiwan, and Hong Kong will still be able to sell the English language version of the product.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah.
Do you know where I put that? Like,
English is the standardized language for Magic, so.
Exactly. So I feel like that'll definitely help a lot getting over that language barrier problem that that the content creator was talking about, the content creator you mentioned. But then again, I don't live there, so I could definitely be wrong as to, like, you know, how from, like, the way I see it, because I live, like, in Puerto Rico, and all of our stuff is in English.
Sometimes in Spanish.
Yeah, like every once a 100 years we get something in Spanish, right?
We get a lot of the promos in Spanish, which is very odd sometimes. Our promos are always in Spanish. Yeah.
Fish got a Confidente Oscuro recently, like this dark confidence. Yeah,
the Texas
it looks
one.
So good. Yeah, the
did he win? Did he win?
Yeah, he won. He won.
That is so cool. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
I saw one content creator talking about the fact that what he believes is the reason why they're doing this is that there's probably a lot of these cards. They probably did, like, a very extensive research, exactly. And what they came across was that they probably realized that a lot of these languages, they don't sell as well as others. And adding to the affirmation things that JP mentioned, so they're thinking, why don't we cut these cards and these products, and we have now more factories making cards that we might need double up on, like, for example, or maybe a double Masters 2022 or maybe more Dominaria United or more Brothers War, so we can stick in more reserve list cards and we can pump out way more even like secret layers. Maybe we have secret layers that we want to like set up for the later half of the year, which I'm pretty sure the Fortnite thing is not the last big hit they're going to give. They're going to give us something crazy again. It's going to be another secret layer. I don't know what, but I'm guessing they're going to give us something crazy too to end up the year. And they might need those factories opened up in order to be able to get these products on time, because as you realized, since they pushed two products back, I'm thinking that maybe that has to do something with that. And I'm being so close.
That's what you mean.
Yeah. You just quick before I forget. I'm thinking something very, 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 very outrageous.
Go.
Nintendo Secret Lair.
I could see that.
Because Nintendo is famous for being really, really problematic to deal with, to work with. Mm-hmm. And if they pull it off, massive.
Is it impossible? Dude. I mean, Pokemon did a collaboration with Nintendo.
It's really difficult. Nintendo is notoriously difficult of a company to work with. Smash
of America or the Japanese one?
They're a garbage company.
Just Nintendo in general.
In general.
Because Smash has problems when acquiring characters.
Yeah, I imagine.
Like third-party characters, mm-hmm. and it's usually not on the end of the third party. It's usually on the end of Nintendo.
Yeah.
Fun fact, I think the only character that I heard like the reverse with that, like the other company was the pain in the ass to deal with, was Sora.
Square Enix. Yeah. Yeah.
That was actually funny. It wasn't even Square Enix. It was apparently Disney who was like, "Oh, we just didn't like the idea of having like a character associated with us in a fighting mm-hmm. game." And I'm like, "What? You're insane!" Like I've seen like Disney characters fight. What are you talking about? Like in other games and stuff. Like,
that's kind of insane. Yeah.
Yeah. I also think it's kind of like just something that I noticed, right? That specifically cards in Russian, Korea, and Chinese in the secondary market sell for a pretty high price.
Mm-hmm. Like in Russian specifically.
Yes, Russian specifically, but I've also seen cards in Chinese and Korean selling for literally double the price of the card.
Yeah.
Some exceptions, mm-hmm. but usually if I'm trying to get a cheap card, I'll get something like, you know, in Japanese and in some occasions Chinese,
Luis, no, tell us, for distributor purposes, we are North America. For promos, we are Latin America. It's pretty weird, but yeah, that's why we got Spanish promos. I mean, I don't mind. It's just weird. Yeah. It's very odd.
I do enjoy those.
Yeah. I think that just describes Puerto Rico's situation. Yeah, yeah, like in general.
Very confused.
Like, funny enough, kind of talks like.
Yeah,
it mirrors like our situation in general, man.
So I'm gonna bring this little topic.
Chris, okay, real quick. Mm-hmm. The reason why those cards might be a bit more expensive is maybe they're just not enough in circulation, mm-hmm. which comes back to the problem that maybe their research told them that they're not selling these in these languages, and thus they are removing them, and that explains the price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Plus, Russian looks really pretty, to be honest. Like, Galag readers in Russian looks insane. Like,
Which is funny because after those cards were released, saying like we're gonna cut some languages down when we literally made it a point to make a promo in different languages to kind of like unify the community, I guess. It's like it's like a slap in the face to your own community. It's like, do you not care? Obviously, WASI doesn't care. This is all just, you know, performative. But you know, it's kind of funny how they just do that and then. Few months later, like, we're just gonna cut a few languages. It's okay.
Yeah.
So I wanted to bring this one to your attention because I was browsing Reddit while you guys were talking, and I saw this little Twitter thread. So a former WotC employee started talking about the reserve list again. So he says, the MTG reserve list combo has bubbled back up. My stance, as it was when I was in WotC staff, you can't abolish it for legal reasons that would bankrupt the game, but you don't need to, and it's a threat, so it keeps going. But you don't need to. You can smash it just by printing improved versions of the cards. Make a Black Lotus that sacks for 4 CCs. Make a Mox that gains you life when they ETB. But a better solution to solve the problem is a design like when a White Lotus. So when card name ETBs, you get an emblem when if you would cast it or have cast a card with the name Black Lotus, you lose the game. Tap, sack at 3 mana. You can do that to any card that matters on the reserve list, and then stick them to on the list or wherever. It's good for vintage because it makes the format more accessible. It's in the spirit of the reserve list promise, and it has whatever impact on prices. But here's the thing. You have to do something like this at some point to dive into the massively untapped pool of highly sought after cards to put in boosters, because the current state of reserves is running out. You can't hammer Force of Will into every set, and the alt art only goes so far. So those are my opinions, and the crew in charge will make good decisions for the long-term health of the game. If you want to hear more about my opinions, he has a website. Doesn't matter. So yeah, what do you guys think about that?
I do not understand why that would why printing would bankrupt the game.
It's legal reasons, and we remember it's very ambiguous, the whole legal reasons.
Yes, why. But also there was a saying, there are people saying how WotC can't do it, but that doesn't mean Hasbro can't.
Yes, that is true.
So it's like there could be legal loopholes.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that could still get WotC in trouble to a certain
extent. Oh, 100%.
There's still the guys printing the product, no?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know how that works.
So there's one of the comments right under the Reddit thread. It says Morrow's fact response to the question has implied the existence of an NDA contract that has tied WotC's hand, and all but confirms it. So someone asked him, when will you get rid of the reserve list? And Morrow says, never. Also, it's a topic I'm not supposed to discuss. Suffice to say, it's a promise we made a long time ago that we plan to keep. Why can't you talk about it? Someone else asked. My inability to discuss it negates my ability to answer this question, but I can't talk about it. Next question. So Morrow has suggested the very fact that there has to be an NDA place years, probably decades ago, where they just can't fucking, because of some stupid reason, they can't just do it. It just seems to be as simple as that. It's stupid. I agree. Maybe his solution, the one in the Twitter thread, maybe that solution of having like a White Lotus that you just play it, but if you just play a Black Lotus later in the game, you're just straight up losing the game. It's mechanically the same, but it won't ruin the Black Lotus because it will still have value because it's still Black Lotus. So that could be a solution. And if you make it more expensive too, like if you're making a more expensive card, if you change a little bit of the, you know, like for example, they made Joe Lotus and nothing broke. I mean, you don't understand? Like, yeah.
There was some controversy with that. For example, when they like literally made up a whole new Mox when Mox Diamond was like in a Magic product. I remember that was like a thing.
Mox Diamond. Yeah, you're right.
Mox Diamond.
Right.
Like they I can't remember if they like reprinted it or if they just like made. Oh, never mind. I think I'm confusing a thing.
Mox Diamond is the one that it just straight up got reprinted, actually.
Yeah, no, I know which card it is. I'm just thinking about like the situation. No, I think the situation actually was just that they like blatantly reprinted it in
Karn, the Karn Silver Golem is a reserve list card that blatantly got reprinted in From the Vault Exiled. And then they were like, oh wait. This is technically not breaking the reserve list, but technically breaking the reserve list.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, it's true. That's a very old card. You're right.
Karn Silver Golem is in the reserve list.
And then they gave no fucks because then they printed it like in a commander set, I think. A commander deck. Didn't they do it in a commander deck? Are you sure?
It's never been printed again. Oh. It has one printing in
Ursa's Destiny.
And it was an oopsie. And a second printing that shouldn't have happened. From the Vault, which is the same thing happened with this oopsie, because Gaia's Cradle and Wheel of Fortune both have Judge promo printings.
Yeah,
both of them are in the reserve list, and they're like, technically we didn't break the reserve list, but exactly. Technically you reprinted the exact same card. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah, they dabble a lot in that, and they try to thread the line.
So I kind of understand why they say never now. Mm-hmm. Like thinking about it, they've tried. Yeah. Basically, it's not like they haven't tried. They've tried. It just hasn't happened.
Every time they catch them. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I won't be surprised if they keep trying.
Yeah. They're going to keep pushing.
It might bite them in the ass eventually, but...
Yeah, I think they're going to keep pushing and see where
where you can land. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
I mean, I think they've kind of proven where they can go with printings of stuff like, you know, Growing Rights of Itlamok and Jeweled Lotus.
That doesn't count. I don't think Growing Rights counts.
Okay, why not?
Growing Rights is just an absolutely different card. You can play Gaia's Cradle. You can't play Growing Rights of Itlamok and just add mana. You need to wait an entire turn.
Okay.
It's not an entire turn, though. It's not the end. Still your end step. But I do get what you mean. Yeah. You're not wrong, but at the same time, it's still in the vein of same thing with like
it's similar, but not the same.
The two colored card that like when you tap it, it does like it adds like one, like it's a Flaring Academy in the back, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm.
It's similar, but not too similar. So
I mean, you could also make that same argument for Jeweled Lotus. I mean, it's similar, but it's
yes,
exclusive it's, for Commander,
but it because it, because like, it has such Commander. A niche in Commander specifically, because it's only for your Commander.
Yeah.
If the card were Commander exclusive, like, but not specifically say that it has to be your Commander, it would be a broken card and it would be used elsewhere. So
yeah. The other thing I just saw. They're doing Infinity Previews at the Rosewater San Diego Comic-Con panel this Saturday. So it's briefly announced in the weekly MTG. So they're doing a little panel. And the person at the end said they'll probably reveal the stickers mechanic and the booster packs without the black dot blocking the hype. It will be fun for a live physical reveal.
Yeah.
So here's a little hot take. My hot take is
a lot. Stickers mechanic? I haven't heard of the stickers mechanic.
We don't know. We haven't.
We're gonna see.
You haven't heard of the stickers mechanic. Neither has anyone else. That doesn't work in WotC.
If we're going with the idea of what I saw recently, the Pokemon Company do. So yes, in the last set of the Pokemon Go set,
the little thing.
So they might do something stupid like that. So you know what could be? Let's go crazy with this idea.
Reserve list?
No.
What if they do that stupid shit where they literally
list cards?
What if they put stickers of like Black Lotuses and boosters? Insane. People freak the fuck out and then they're like, no, guys, it's okay. It's like a little ditto.
Oh no, man. You did it.
That would be like the ultimate troll thing to
about,
do.
Like, I was thinking about that in like the positive way.
I'm in the cynical way.
So for our listeners who don't know, Pokemon did this thing where they would have a card and it would be nice and foil and it'll be a different card. And then on the bottom, you see a little symbol.
It's a little ditto.
You feel the card and it kind of feels like it's off by a bit. Yeah. And then it kind of could, what? It can peel? And you peel it off and on the back, it's just a ditto.
It's just a ditto. Granted, they didn't do it with like expensive cards or like really powerful cards. It's just like Bidoofs and stuff like that, but it's still like...
It's hilarious and nice. And
it's cute. But knowing WotC, they'd be like, you know, like that rare or something, you pull it off and it's like, oh my God, it's a Black Lotus that you like peel it off. No, it's just a jank silver boulder card that I can't use.
I think it'd be way worse
if it's like,
oh, like, cool. Like I got like this really good mythic. And then it's like, oh, it could be one of the reserve list cards. And it's just like one of the trash reserve list cards.
Oh yeah, for sure. That would be so funny. Just to like,
it's like, oh yeah, I got a $60 card. Oh, nope. Just went down to 5 cents.
Yeah. So I wanted to show one last thing before we get to the other topic, which is funny because I think it was shared by a couple of our friends before. It's the EDH ban list point system at the local LGS. This trended a little bit on their
the
Twitter.
The point system was fine. It's the ban list. That's the...
So let's go have fun a little ban list.
So they banned
everything.
Mana positive rocks.
Yeah.
That are banned are Mana Crypt, Soul Ring, Mana Vault, Mox Amber, Grim Monolith, Mox Diamond, Chrome Mox, Mox Opal, Jeweled Lotus, and Lotus Petal.
Yeah. Let me pull up the... Yeah. Let me give you just 1 second because I have the actual image so you can see it in its full glory. I think this is it. There we go. So then we have the free counter spells that are banned. We have Fierce Guardianship, Pact of Negation, Force of Negation, Force of Will, Foil, freaking Foil, man.
Dwarfs.
And Daze. Yeah, it's insane. Oh, God. Then we got the two CMC tutors that are under our badge. So basically, every tutor you can imagine, all the tutors or the other color tutors.
All the three mana tutors.
Yeah. Demonic Consultation, Diabolic Intent, Entomb, Imperial Seal, Mausoleum. It's insane. It's just insane. Then we got extra turn spells that are banned. Basically, every turn spell every extra turn spell. Yes. It's
the very time bender. Isn't that like the
Planeswalker? Yeah. The Planeswalker that comes down for four? Or is that like the one that comes down for six?
Teferi Master of Time and Time. Time Bender is the six mana one. Yes.
Is the Planeswalker deck one. Yeah.
Yes. That one. Even that one is too much for this stupid list. We even got Warrior's Oath. You know, poor Warrior's Oath.
For some reason, on down additional ban list.
Yes.
Thassa's Oracle, Ancient Tomb.
Cyclonic Rift. Yes. I was literally telling, like, you know, our friends when this got posted in our chat, like, yeah. I would just literally not be able to play any of my decks right now.
I can play a Yara.
Yeah,
I can play a Yara. Okay, what I have Vampiric Tutor.
Yeah,
and so I take out Vampiric Tutor. I take out Sol Ring.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that's it.
Yeah. So then what do you guys think about the point system? The casual commander point system?
The point system is fine. Last man standing in your pod, plus one point. So casting your commander from the command zone, because sometimes people don't.
Yeah.
You know, plus one. Saving at least one player from defeat. I hate that rule.
Yeah. Well, it's very political in terms of casual gameplay.
It creates...
I think it's fine. Saving
someone for the sake of saving someone...
I see what you mean.
Just for the sake of getting a point...
Exactly.
But that could turn into a political power, because you could be like, I'm going to save you, but just so you know, I'm doing this for a point. Or whatever. You can find a way to kind of like, okay.
Then killing at least one player in a turn with commander damage. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Pod favorite, optional, and that's a player vote.
I find those okay. No, I'm just not okay with just giving like people out free points. Like
yeah,
for just being popular.
Reaching 100 life is actually decent.
Yeah.
It's not that common unless you're a dedicated life gain deck.
Exactly.
Like you have to be a dedicated life gain deck.
Mm-hmm.
Defeating an opponent with commander damage.
That's cool.
Isn't that already
Killing at least one player in a turn?
In a turn. So it has to, it's two different things.
It's a one hit KO. Like the first one is a one hit KO in which like he doesn't have any commander damage. You slap him for commander damage and he's dead outright. And then the other one is just killing a player with commander damage like progressively. But I'd rather just have the second one and then just not have the first one.
Yeah, exactly.
Know? Yeah.
Playing five lands in one turn.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Yeah,
that's fine. Ultimate of Planeswalker. That's actually decent because it can be quite hard. Milling at least 50 cards from one opponent's library.
I dig it. It's okay unless you have Brain Freeze.
A spell with casting cost 8 or more.
Yeah, like an Eldrazi, I guess.
Yeah. Generate 20 or more tokens in one turn.
I did
generate 20 more tokens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Draw 20 or more cards in one turn. I went infinite. Look.
Draw 20 or more infinite.
Yeah. Control 5 or more permanents you don't own at the same time.
Those all sound like blue stuff you can do very quickly.
Yeah. Control one permanent of each type at the same time. Of each type? That's never. People forget that tribal is a type. Some decks just don't run tribal cards.
Yeah.
Tribal is a type. It is not a super type. It is a type.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Is there tribal permanents?
Bitter Blossom is a tribal enchantment.
Oh, true. Yeah.
And then there's the other tribal enchantment, the goblin one.
Thus, it is a type. The Bogar Shenanigans. Also, I hate this part because I just, in general, don't like negative points.
Mm-hmm.
They feel bad.
Yeah.
While failing to cast your commander. I killed you. Like, your commander's worth 7 mana, but I killed you. Guess you get a negative point.
Yeah.
Attacking a player in last place.
That shouldn't even be up. I mean, the person who's probably behind, but that's so arbitrary. How can you define
Chris has no permanence, but he's tutored 20 times and he's in last place. He's in last place. He has nothing in the field.
He has 17 health. Oh no. He's in so much danger. He's not going to combo off next turn.
Unsportsmanlike conduct is also very arbitrary. I like it, but it's also very arbitrary. And searching your deck for more than 30 seconds.
Yeah, that's always
that one I find ridiculous. Yeah. Especially considering that they've eliminated so many tutors, who even cares?
True.
All the thing you're going to be doing is fetching for lands. Sometimes you need a specific land when you're fetching with a fetch. What do you expect? If I'm using my fetch land and I'm trying to get
trying to dissuade you from searching in general, because again, this is all for this is not for try hard commander like we do. It's for casual.
Start gonna play Marilyn of the Morn song. Just make everyone search. Oh look, you last long negative one.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's it's for casual, very casual commander. I guess it's not horrible.
I don't agree with a lot of things.
Yeah.
I don't call people out, but a lot of people we play with, mm-hmm. everyone has their own version of what Commander is.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of different things that come into that thought process. Mm-hmm. One of the details is people want to play, apparently people want to play 12 plus turns.
Yeah.
And people want to be, play a long game. And that's completely fine. This ban list helps with that. But it's too much.
I understand
the perspective of people wanting different things of one format because it is a casual format, but I do not want to be playing a 3-hour game, a 4-hour game. I made my decks, so at least I can finish a game in less than 4 hours, I clearly have a set of power levels in mind with my decks, and that's something that also affects what you are going to be playing. But that ban list sounds like you want green to dominate because nobody you banned a lot of the strengths of blue, a lot of them. Considering the counter spells being one of them,
and the extra turns, which is mostly blue stuff,
Yeah. So you nerf blue a lot. You nerf black by removing the good tutors,
mm-hmm.
which is black's strongest thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you keep the broken cards, that stuff like Necropotence, and I understand Thassa's Oracle. I made it clear I do not like the Thassa's Oracle thing. Is mostly because it's a trigger and it's annoying because you need to deal with it on the stack, not in play. That's the only reason why I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you could deal with it while it's in play, then I feel like it's more than fine. Having a basically 3 mana, I win.
Yeah.
So I understand that ban, but everything, a lot of the other things are too much.
Yeah, I agree. Final little thing I saw. I'm sorry, I keep browsing on Reddit and I keep finding shit. So I don't know if you guys saw this. Secret Lair inclusions that are
yes. We talked about that.
Yeah.
So there's this guy. He got he's a Slivers artist. He actually, I think he made the art for Slivers, for some Slivers, and he has collected all of the Slivers.
Mm-hmm.
He has all of them, as in all of them and all printings, he collects them.
Wow. Okay.
So he got in one of those secret lairs, he got one of those, and he was like, I already have this, but it's basically almost one of a kind, considering there was no other in the market at the moment. Mm-hmm. That's the second one I've seen, like the other ones. I don't like that they are not shown, that they are very, very, very hush-hush, basically. Because before that, I didn't even know these were in circulation.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a problem, like it's nice. Oh, yeah, you added new cards. But the problem being that it's basically an entirely new card. There is no version of that card anywhere else. And you might think of this as basically an additional secret layer within the secret layer.
Wait, hold on. Like, these are like completely new slivers, not like a reprint of a sliver.
They are the actual card is a reprint. The version of the card is original.
Exactly.
There is no other version of this card.
Yeah, because it's not extended art. It's not a thing.
Yeah,
there's no slivers who are
extended. There are no sliver extended arts.
Yes. So it's not a new thing.
I think that's really cool though.
It's like cool, personally. But then it creates a basically the secret layer within the secret layer.
Exactly. And it's actually going to incentivize people to start buying secret layers in the hopes of getting these lottery cards, which already was a problem a few months ago when they started introducing like the persistent petitioners and the different art styles of the persistent petitioners, the artifacts that were like in a very different art style. Yeah, I forgot what the art style was, but I remember I wanted to buy a few of them, and then I was like, screw it. They were trying to experiment with just having, like, essentially lottery cards. And we remember the, what was the card that was that had a number? It wasn't even like, it was Vecna Vizier Seer or something like that?
Visera Seer.
Visera Seer, which was a number. There was 100 in the market. Well, in the secret layers hidden away, like a lottery card. So this is just the next level to that. I think they're going to keep doing this shit. I think it's going to be like an incentive for people then to open them up, post them on social media, on Reddit, and then people be like, shit, I missed out on that secret layer. I better get on the next one because I might get one of those cool, very, very exclusive super cards. I have like two secret layers I haven't opened up. But I don't even know if I have cards like that.
But it's like exclusive upon the exclusive.
Oh yes, of course. Yeah.
That's I feel like that's a problem.
I
really don't think it's a problem unless they start doing something ridiculous like inserting like a mechanically unique card. I think that they learned. I hope, let me rephrase that. I hope that they learned from their mistakes with the Walking Dead secret layer and aren't planning to put mechanically unique cards in something like this kind of thing. And let's say that something like that did happen, I would hope it's some Heroes of the Realms or like silver bordered stuff, like not legal for play.
Yeah.
Like that would be stretching it, but up to that point, I don't think it's like an issue or
they problem. Should just stick the old boxes with the art that they did for MTG Online. Just stick one of those boxes. Just fuck it.
Yeah.
Fuck it, Watsy.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Sure.
Just go nuts. Just, you know what?
Just make it gold border.
Yeah, just put a gold border. Yeah, put a gold border, put in the back. Those things that you'd like Chris said, Heroes of the Realm.
Yeah,
just put like a Heroes of the Realm thing or just put secret layer in the back. Just stick it in the back and that's it. Just fuck it. That'd be amazing.
Process. Will it also be like one of the peel away ones? So
yes, like and then the joke one. Is it's just a persistent petitioner. That's it.
Oh yeah.
oh man, Watts is insane. yeah. So we had one more topic, right?
Yeah.
Speaking
of commanders and the ban list and how we choose to build our decks, how do you guys choose your commanders? How do you build your deck?
Okay, I'll go because I think I'm quick. Yeah. I am a filthy net decker. That's for starters.
Yeah, but how do you choose your commander?
My commanders are chosen generally.
Generally speaking, this is my perspective on your decks.
Okay.
Your decks are blue.
Yes.
But they don't have to be blue.
Yes.
So look at Angie Falconwrath, and you really enjoy that deck because you just tap, draw, tap, draw, tap, draw, 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 and you keep on drawing cards.
Until I win somehow. And if I don't win, then it's the next game. Yeah.
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 Basically. It's very like very blue-ish mechanic, but it doesn't have to be blue.
Yes.
For the most part, it is.
Yes, I have the teamer one, the one with the dinosaur. That's supposed to be like you one-shot a player, but then I just play extra turn spells.
And then you grab extra turns, yeah.
Exactly. I just copy and it plays instant style, which is almost blue as well. Because I just copy, and then either do an extra turn spell or I'm gonna kill you. Yes, essentially most of my decks are designed around the idea of blue. They're not necessarily blue, as you said, but when choosing, I'm trying to deviate from that because I realize that's mostly my playstyle. I don't have like a Timmy deck. I don't have like a Tron deck or something like that. So I try to see what commanders come out, what legendaries come out every set. And I'm like, if something really piques my interest in terms of something that seems very powerful, like the last big deck I committed to was basically Oscar, because it was artifacts, which I enjoy, but it's in a playstyle I generally don't do, which is Boros. Because I tried Boros so many times and I never can get into Boros. But then
I feel like you would enjoy Feather.
Fabiola has Feather, and I built that deck for her because I really do like Feather, but I'm like, she should have something different than Tuasa, because Tuasa, it's like, essentially both decks are essentially the same.
Voltron decks.
Yeah, exactly. They're essentially Voltron decks.
But like Feather generates a lot of card
advantage. Oh yeah, it's a lot of card advantage.
Yeah.
It goes very crazy. Her deck goes insane. The only thing it's missing is more protection, which I try to help her with that, but you know, there's just some cards that are kind of expensive, so. But for the most part, yeah. But generally, my play style is, obviously, it has to be a card that's either supremely powerful that I cannot ignore, or it has something. Urza, exactly. When Urza came out, these guys.
You dropped everything. You dropped everything. You dismantled, I think, two decks and then made Urza.
I could not resist. When I saw Urza, I saw how broken he was. I was like, this is the deck I need to make. This is the deck my life has been waiting for. Before it was like Baral, and I used to have Tasa because, like, not Tasa Oracle, like Tasa the god, because I liked her because she was not someone that
she was not threatening. She was non-threatening.
But I could play blue and she could give me a free scry. Then I did Baral, but Baral obviously puts target on your back. So when Urza came out, Urza was so powerful that even with a target on my back, I can try to win.
I can keep on going
pretty quick. But generally, yes, I think my playstyle is like, in terms of how I build my decks, I try not to be like a full net decker unless it's for like something I want to try to do very competitively. What I generally do is I go to EDH Rec and I see what the combo pieces are, what the stuff it needs to be like semi-playable. And I try to see what I have. And if I'm missing something, and it's not that expensive, I try to make like a little list. I try not to go over maybe like $100 if I don't want to fully commit to the deck, and then go nuts. The last time I did that was for Tayam. Tayam is the absent deck that basically reanimates.
Yeah.
When I kind of like saw all the pieces, I liked it because it's a lot of pieces that I did not have. So it was cool because if I ever dismantle the deck, I have a lot of like absent stuff that I can put in other stuff. So when I saw like the whole stuff that I needed, it was roughly like $80 or $90 that was like during the early days of the pandemic, which kind of like everything kind of like went crash downwards because no one knew. So I actually got a bunch of like really good shit, like Bloom Tender and stuff, when Bloom Tender was like very low. Now it's like rising up. It's kind of like DVA because it got a few reprints at the time when I bought it. And I bought a lot of the fetches during those times, which again were cheap. And then I built a deck. So that's usually how I do it. If it's blue, the good thing about blue is I have multiples of every staple you could ever imagine for blue. So if there's something more stronger than Urza, then for sure I am already set up. Like I don't think
they're gonna be. There's gonna be something
stronger. Not anytime soon.
Yeah.
I don't know. Brothers War is coming along.
They're currently neglecting blue a lot, to be honest.
That is true. But Urza, I mean, hey, they're gonna print an Urza card in Brothers War. Now the thing is, my theory is it might not be as powerful as Urza. It might be complementary to the Urza we already have, but I am praying that they do a secret lair and they have Urza in an alternate art style, alternate border, alternate everything, because they've done it for basically every secret lair. They've always had a secret lair that kind of connects to the standard set. They did that with Treasure New Capenna. So they've done this as a pattern. So I'm guessing they're obviously going to print probably Mishra, Urza, Yawgmoth. They're probably going to do all those characters in different art style, in a very unique art style. So I'm probably going to get another Urza again for my collection. But yeah, that's how I do it. Chris, how do you do it? How do you decks? How do you do everything?
Before, my deck building and like how I choose my commander has changed more recently. Before that, it was just whatever seemed like janky fun. Even when it was a really good commander like Golos, I remember just, you know, building jank and then slowly making it into a freaking monster. Like I enjoy stuff that I can Frankenstein and just kind of like mess with it as much as I want, which is what I did, for example, with Golos and like my Rubinia deck and stuff like that. Rubinia was just there for the colors. Like, there's a lot of commanders that I played originally literally just because it was in the colors that I wanted, and like, it's a good stuff deck with like the necessary like stuff. Now I've just been looking for commanders that just kind of provide dopamine or value, as some might call it. So just like, if I can get rewarded for literally just playing the game, that's what I want to play. I played Baral, the deck that spoiled me first was Joyra. So Joyra is just, you cast a historic spell, you draw a card, and I'm like, oh wait, I'm getting rewarded with card draw literally just for playing the game, for playing the deck. Cool. Awesome. Then I moved on to Baral, and then, like, you know, I'm drawing cards, like I'm getting value out of countering spells. I'm just playing blue, essentially, like what most people would define as blue, right? Which is just like, oh, it's gonna stop me from playing. And then from that, I moved on to Leer. Again, same concept of like being rewarded for playing the game. Like, I'm already doing something that blue wants to do. It's cast instants and sorceries, and I would play a lot of extra turn spells, and I could cast them again from my graveyard. So it just felt like I was rewarded for just throwing stuff into the graveyard, which is part of the game of Magic, period, right? And yeah, I guess that's pretty much it. Right now I'm playing, for those who didn't already know, right? Playing Thrasios and Timna. Now my like deck philosophy has just kind of been, how many, like in these colors and because of this commander's mechanic, how many two card combos can I stick in it? I'm currently in the process of like getting a Rings of Brightheart just so I can get another two card combo with Basalt Monolith in there, just because, you know, Kinan's already in there, so might as well have another option.
What about you, JP?
So I've placed myself in a niche within the niche. So I play Sacrifice. I started my first commander deck was a black deck. There's a reason why John introduces me as the Master of the Dark Arts. I had a black deck, a black-white deck, a black-red deck, a black-blue deck, and a black-green deck, all at the same time.
All revolving around the Sacrifice mechanic.
All revolving about sacrificing. Although each one was different. So I like the sacrificing mechanic. It's not a specific mechanic, but you just sacrifice and you do something. I enjoy that, and I know how to navigate through those lines of play very, very well. So, what a lot of friends of mine say is that I basically play Yu-Gi-Oh! While playing Magic. Because, like, that's basically how I play the game. And as such, you get to do a lot of stuff that are usually not as common in colors that you wouldn't assume so. One of my favorite decks I've ever made, which I remade again, and it just wasn't the same. It was Safi, Eric's Daughter. Safi, Eric's Daughter is a green and a white for a 2/2. And you sacrifice her and target one other card. If that creature would die and go to your graveyard, it dies, goes to your graveyard, and then it comes back into play. So it's just green, white reanimator. The reason I chose her is because she sacrifices herself, but also she's reanimator. So she's green, white, but she's black. My current favorite deck is Ozgear, and he can sacrifice an artifact to give himself +2/+0. So already there, the sacrifice. I can abuse artifacts and artifacts going to my graveyard. While also his second ability basically reanimates artifacts. It exiles them and makes two copies. And at first, I was very hesitant because I was like, exile sounds horrible. Why would I ever want to exile my stuff? But it doesn't matter if you can just bring it back from exile, if you can just make multiple copies. So, oh, now I have two. No, now I have four. No, now I have eight. So I it's fine. I lost one. I have eight now. So it's mostly due to the sacrifice mechanic. Not right recently, I've been thinking about expanding my my cards and my commanders, and making a commander before I put myself into this niche. It was a commander that was in the niche, but without being in the niche, and that's Gitrog Monster. I have all the pieces to make Gitrog Monster broken. He's basically a CEDH deck.
Yeah.
And when I look at my power levels, I'm going to get Breya, Ethereum Shaper, and I'm going to buy the Precon. I'm going to rebuy or remake the Precon. And then I'll keep it at its Precon state. That way I have what I would consider a 5, being the Precon. My 6 would be Jolene. You know, it can pop off, it can be fast, but for the most part, I'm just smacking you in the face as much as I can.
Yeah, my 7... There's no real game plan other than smacking face.
make treasure, smack face. Ayara would be my number 7. Ozgear is 100% an 8. I have a Kaikar CEDH deck. But because of the nature that is Kaikar, he is not the most optimal. He's not the most optimal Jeskai commander. He can just be explosive. I would consider him a 9.5, basically. So it would be basically my 9. I don't think there's any more room. Like the difference between 9 and 10 is like barely, in my opinion. And then I would make Gitrog as my 10. And I have several power levels. They all sacrifice. They all do that one thing I enjoy and I navigate very well.
Mm-hmm.
And by adding Gitrog, maybe I could just add more stuff like that. So maybe even touching... I was thinking Arcum Daxon. But then I'd have way too many artifact decks.
Yeah,
and,
which is kind of my problem a little bit. That's why I only have Ozgear and Ursa.
Because one of the problems is artifacts is very easy to sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my problems, because I could make a Oswald Fiddlebender. I could make that
insane.
I can make a Arcum Daxon. I can make, like, you know, there's so many things I could make that are a problem in terms of alternating my strategies, which is also another thing I take in consideration when choosing a commander.
Mm-hmm.
My red-black commander was burn aggro, but it sacrificed to do so. Yeah. My green, red-black, red-white commander was drain but tokens. So, okay, perfect. My green-black commander was like huge beefy creatures. They all sacrifice, they all share, like a lot of my cards are basically shared between them, but they are doing absolutely different strategies, even though they feel like they would play the same.
Mm.
And my blue-black deck was a zombie tribal deck, which includes tokens, includes drain, includes sometimes like big beefy zombies, but it's a tribal, so it's different. Right now, my mono black deck is a pure drain deck. Before that, I made Yawgmoth, which is a combo deck.
Yeah.
So even though they all share a specific type, a specific style, they play differently. Gitrog plays like it's a mill deck that's a combo deck, but also a lands deck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was actually planning on on that note, right? One of the things that I was thinking about was just picking up card draw as like a thing. So, and then just I was thinking of remaking Joyra, for example, to just jump on card draw, then making Sithis. I also thought about Gitrog because I think Gitrog draws you cards when you like sacrifice land, right?
Whenever a land touches the graveyard, goes to the graveyard from anywhere, you draw a card.
Yeah. So I was actually thinking about like that.
So I already have all the pieces. Like I just need to like get more of the tutors, fetch lands for that deck. I feel like I'm missing key like protection pieces, but like I have the Veil of Summer and Autumn's Veil. I have a Vampiric Tutor. It'll be a CEDH deck, so I don't mind proxying. So I could just I already have a proxy of Imperial Seal. I'll just stick that in. For the most part, I think I'm missing one of the rituals that I already have in Ayara, but I'm not dismantling Ayara. So I need to get that. And I'm pretty sure I'm missing Culling the Weak. I have one in Ayara. But like Culling the Weak allows me to cast Kid Rock on turn two. So, yeah. So you play a land, you play an elf. Turn two, you play a land, you tap the elf for mana. Let's say it's a green mana. And then you tap a land for black, you cast Culling the Weak, sacrificing the elf. Culling the Weak adds four black, and the elf added one green. You play Gidrog. With one land open, and then because you played it, Gidrog, now you can play a second land per turn.
Put Jeweled Lotus in there too?
Maybe. But with those two lands, if I already have Oblivion Crown, which I do have, I can tap the two, flash in, because if I'm mistaken, it has flash in the enchantment and combo off on turn two.
Solidus. I like
that. Horrible.
I like that. No, that wouldn't be horrible. That's great. I like that. I like that, JP. Keep giving me ideas. Let's go.
But it's such a like the one another thing that really itches, like scratches the itch in my brain is combos. I'm very much a Johnny player, but I don't like two card combos. I like to work for my combos. So when you destroy one piece, I'm like, haha, that piece didn't matter because now I can do this and just keep on going. Because let's say you play Thassa's Oracle, I counter it. You're done. That's it.
Yeah.
What do you do? No. What do you do?
No, that's not true.
Okay, you try to counter back. I have another counter. Okay, fine. You know?
No. But like, I've always said, if you're going to run a two-card combo in a deck, sure, you can just optimize the crap out of it and make that your only game-winning combo, but why not have multiple two-card combos?
I agree.
Yes, yes, fine. You have multiple two-card combos, but I stopped your one combo. Mm-hmm. What do you do if I have Rinds of Brightheart and Basalt Monolith? I automatically generated infinite mana, but then that's not my that doesn't win me the game. Then I have the top, and then I'm trying to draw my deck, but that doesn't win me the game. So I play another thing and another thing and another thing, and you don't know what to, like, you could stop one thing, but I could keep on going even though you stopped it. Because the entirety of a combo is a machine, and there's several working parts of the machine.
I want to throw an asterisk, because if someone allowed you to have Basalt Monolith and Rings of Brightheart, that player already should have been tossed aside.
Just drop them down in one turn. I want Rings of Brightheart in play so I can activate Ozgur and copy his ability. Rings of Brightheart works normally in the deck, and also Basalt Monolith also works normally in the deck.
I know.
See Basalt Monolith, you see Rings of Brightheart, I destroy it. Okay, Ozgur just going to copy it now. I have two of them. What are you going to do?
I guess so. I'm just saying, like, if they allow you to do that, and you just have top, then you're just gonna win anyway.
I've done it on turn three.
That's disgusting.
Yes, I mean, to be fair, it wasn't my fault. I had an explosive like start, but I was dead on cards. I didn't have anything. I just had Ozgur in play and some mana rocks, and then someone wheeled, and I wheeled into Smothering Tithe plus a wheel. So I played Smothering Tithe and wheeled. And that's it. That's Smothering Tithe plus wheel is usually game.
Yeah, well, if you have stupid opponents, of course you're gonna win.
They windfalled because they were ahead of me.
And then why would you windfall if you're ahead?
Because you get more cards.
No! If you're a literal disadvantage, why?
They emptied their hand.
Uh-huh.
Windfalled, emptied their hand again. They're in a winning position.
How they did not win on the spot? They wheeled twice and they dropped both their hands all the way through.
They're not playing power level 10s.
They shouldn't have done a stupid wheel.
Someone will stop them.
They shouldn't have done a wheel if you're seeing an opponent who just literally has nothing on board and nothing in hand.
I also feel like
I could have killed them
a lot of times. A lot of times, like, Windfall is the kind of card that I personally only like playing when I can do something ridiculous, like, you know, drop a, what's it called, like a Notion Thief, or like drop a, like a Hold Breaker. No, that's too much. That's too much mana.
Yeah.
But my idea right now in my decks is trying to have several power levels.
Yeah.
I'm hoping one of the new precons eventually brings like a sacrifice commander I can just buy and maybe just, you know, keep him as a precon and have like two precons, that way I could have two precons, so I have two level fives, two six, two sevens, two eights, two nines. I don't think two nines or two tens, that's a bit too much, but
too expensive is what it is, more than anything.
No, it's like too much, because like there's another problem is like your playgroup. My current playgroup right now, I'm pretty far from you guys. Like, I mean, my current playgroup plays at a lower power level. I'm dominating with Jolene, and it's not their fault. They're good players. They just don't have the cards for it.
Yeah,
because they've been playing for a while. They just don't. They haven't, you know, placed like money into the game. They've been slowly getting it back into the game. My favorite deck is Ozgear. Ozgear is like, it does everything I want. Draw ramp, combo, super combo looted. I take 20 minute turns. You can look at me and draw my deck in Boros.
Yeah, mine's Urza.
Oh look, I'm doing black things in a non-black deck. That feels like, ooh, yeah, I love that.
Mine is Urza, because Urza is like a dream come true. Urza does literally everything I ever wanted in Magic to do. You draw, you win on the spot. He's like combo piece. He's blue.
He's blue ramp.
And a combo, like a winning piece. Like a combo piece and a winning piece on his own.
We've talked about how, like, whole Reacher, why he needed to be banned. Because you gave a resource denying card to blue that also ramps them.
Yeah.
Ramp, like, and blue ramp is the one, like, ramp is the one thing blue shouldn't have.
Yeah, it's insane.
There's entire decks built around High Tide. That should give you enough detail why blue shouldn't have ramp.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Urza came along and he stole my heart. What about you, Chris?
Okay. So the reason I turned to the dark side is because my favorite deck ever got the living crap banned out of him. That was Golos. So that would technically be my favorite deck. However,
Lord and Crinkle? I'm very surprised.
I suffered. I suffered Golos. I suffer Golos every day. It's just that, well, now I've moved on to ridiculousness. So I guess that the deck that really became my favorite deck out of all the decks I've built, like, you know, post Golos, was actually Baral.
Wasn't it Leer? You sure?
They're basically the same deck. Yes. But like the way I had them built.
The way you had Leer build, like you previously told me, you like, if you could play Leer forever, that's what you would do.
Yeah, but I've been playing Baral in Arena, and I've been kind of like shifting more towards Baral. But then again, the bias, because I've been playing it more often.
Yeah.
Like right now, I had to depower Leer, as you guys like saw in like the last podcast, and kind of iffy on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because even when trying to play Baral at a lower power level, it just felt better.
Last time I did target you because you were the only blue player, and I knew John couldn't stop me. So
it's I did like take down Leer a bunch of notches. It's not the same deck it was when I like, it's missing a lot of the tutors that I have in like a lot of the blue tutors that I put in
Thrasios Timna,
and it's missing some of the rocks and stuff like that, because the way it was originally, like between Baral and Leer, because the good thing about Leer is that I don't really depend on other people playing for me to play, which is why I prefer Leer in a lot of ways. But honestly, getting rewarded for countering spells feels really good. It's so good.
Just value for stopping the opponent. It's always good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Baral's pretty powerful. I mean, that's the one I used to play a lot before Urza. So I get you completely. She's like, nope. Oh, I draw. nope, I keep drawing. I keep getting my nopes every turn, just exactly. Stopping you all along.
I used to run like, what was it that I originally ran with? It was like 30, 20 something counter spells.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. So yeah, anything else you guys want to talk about or good? No. Okay, awesome. Like Chris, so where can the people find you?
You can, just like everybody else, find me here in the Cardboard Cave Podcast. You can also find us, by interacting with us on our social media. And I like do keep a lookout on like Facebook and stuff, even though I haven't posted much. But you can also find me on my Twitch every once in 100 years. I keep playing and forgetting to like turn on the stream, but you know, someday soon I'll pop up again. Jiffy, where can you find you again?
You can find me here in the Cardboard Cave Podcast. Also, you can find merch at Endphase. John makes them, and they are pretty cool. You get pretty cool deals. Alejandro, where can they find you?
You can find me here with you guys. Now I'm a little more, I have more time now, so I can be more in the podcast. You can also find me at The Movie Guy. You can find me in Cine Mas Podcast. I have an episode coming up on Saturday. I had a little interesting conversation. I pre-recorded with one of the directors of a film that's actually in theaters right now. It's a documentary of agriculture in Puerto Rico. So it's very interesting. It's a very nice conversation. You can also find me next to your Richport in After School Club and in Cine Nerds. We also give me a second. Oh yeah, the After Sleeves. Yes. So the After Sleeves. I think I have the video, but I'm not sure which one it is. But I'll throw the little video at the end.
We have an affiliate partner with Ultra Sleeves. You get 10% discount on your purchase. If you go there and write, if I'm not mistaken, it's a Cardboard Cave.
This one, right? Yeah.
There you go.
You can make your card spicy. You can get Gracios with huge anime plot.
The Jolene Jolene Cujo, the from JoJo, for Jolene. I'm getting it.
Awesome. It's beautiful. But what was the code? Do you remember the code? I don't remember the code.
If I'm mistaken, it's Cardboard Cave.
Oh yeah, it's that simple. Okay, yeah. Go to Ultra Sleeves, Cardboard Cave. Get some nice juicy sleeves. Help us with the channel. Help us grow. Help us get better. We're trying to get better. I haven't been in a while, so that's why I forgot about the Ultra Sleeves code. But yeah, awesome. So hopefully we'll see you in the next one. I don't know if we're going to have a Commander game soon, but I know we'll definitely be talking about whatever the hell they're going to be talking about on Thursday and on Saturday. So we'll have a bunch of spoilers to talk about on next time. So see you guys on the next one.
Hey geeks, do you love comics, collectibles, and TCG? Well, here at Cardboard Cave, we have the place for you. Pass by Capitan Granuja Comics and Games and find all your favorite geeky items there. Look for them at Facebook or Instagram or call them at 787-659-7003. A store blessed by Nicole Bolas.